We'll listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers, remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Alan Freed.
And now, it's hard to know what to say in introducing our next act, because this is undoubtedly the top-notch rock and roll vocal group in America. The top-notch vocal group in any field of music. Here are the Fabulous Platters and the Magic Hut.
This show is a special joy for me. I have on the phone Mr. Herb Reed, who was a platter at the very beginning. In fact, he formed the group. He's been a platter for years and years and years. He's still a platter. And let me tell you something about the Platters. The Platters have recorded nearly 400 songs. They've sold about 100 million copies of those records. They've won many awards, including being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And they've appeared in 27 movies and something like 91 countries. And I think, Herb Reed, that's pretty impressive.
Well, thank you so much. It's still good to be out here working and meeting people like you again, my man. So I'm a happy guy right now.
Herb, we open the show with a live performance of The Magic Touch that your group did at an Alan Freed show that was back in 1956. The Magic Touch was your third hit single. And to me, The Magic Touch describes the group. The Platters had The Magic Touch. Your music was pop music. It was R&B, it was doo-wop, and it was, of course, rock and roll. You did all of that. Your sound was kind of a bridge between the old days of Tin Pan Alley and, of course, the new thing called rock and roll. We're going to start from the very beginning, if that's okay with you, Herb.
Okay, it's my pleasure.
You started the group in 1953. Who were your personal musical influences?
They were gospel singers from so many different gospel groups from the South. You know, the Five Dime Boys and Deep River Boys and guys like that from the South.
Were there any pop singers that you particularly liked a lot?
I did like the Mills Brothers and the Ink Spots.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the Mills Brothers and the Ink Spots, because some people see a little bit of a similarity between the Platters and those groups.
Well, not really, because we didn't copy anything that they did.
I wasn't implying that you copied anything. Some people see a similarity because of the success.
There were two tenor voices. One was open tenor and the other one was a falsetto tenor. Beautiful, though, beautiful. I mean, Ink Spots, beautiful, beautiful.
But the Platters had a different sound. You hear a Platters record, you could tell it's not an Ink Spots record.
Well, that's good to know.
Herb, tell me, how did the Platters get together and who were the original group members?
Okay, well, I get together because, number one, it was Alex Hodge was coming to see one of the girls that lived in the same house I lived in.
Right.
And I met him one day in the living room and we started talking, you know. And I just got out of the Army, and I was singing in the choir in the Army. And I said, you know, it's really, truthfully difficult to get settled because I miss all that camaraderie. And I said, you know anybody who can sing? He said, yes. I said, well, let's get our own group. He said, okay. So he introduced me to Cornell Gunther, and later on we started meeting the other guy, Joe Jefferson. But there was no group before me.
So you decided to really put a group together.
I came up with the idea. The other one who found Tony Williams, the other one who found Solo Taylor, and also the one who found David Lynch.
Right. But initially, it was you and Alex and Cornell.
But it was no group. But, you know, we were in thought only. We weren't doing anything of value.
So you weren't really that serious at that point? In other words,
not really.
Okay. How did Tony Williams get brought into the group?
At that time, there were amateur shows all over California. Tony was featured on one of the amateur shows, or showcased themselves in case anybody, you know, is interested in that type of voice. And we heard about it, so I tracked it down, you know. Finally, I found where he was staying, and I went by and spoke to him and told him exactly what we were proposing to do.
Right.
He liked the idea, and that's why he joined.
At that time, was he obviously going to be the lead singer?
Well, at the time, no, I was the lead singer, believe it or not.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I was. In fact, people don't know this, but I was the very first recordings of the Platters that released on Federal Records, the very first one, with me singing both sides.
Really?
For honest to goodness. The worst thing I ever did in my entire life. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. In fact, they asked me after they had put out that horrible record, they wanted me to do another one, and I steadily refused. I refused to record anymore.
Tony did the lead on some of the records on Federal.
Yes, he did. I did a lot of leads.
Including the original version of Only You.
Right.
What about the name Platters? Did you just come up with that out of the blue?
No. I used to listen to disc jockeys refer to records as being platters. So I said, well, wait a minute, we all lead singers. So that means that you're a platter, I'm a platter, blah, 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 blah. That's how I came up with the name, the Platters.
Pretty simple.
It is, really, truly.
So you were the Platters.
Nobody liked that name. I mean, not the group, but the management and the record company did not like the name. They wanted to change it, and I said, no way. I was ecstatic about not changing.
It was largely as a result of all the amateur shows that were taking place in California that you met Buck Ram, who happened to be in town.
I heard that there's a guy in town from Chicago, a songwriter, and he's looking to manage some groups and blah, 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 blah. We got in touch with him like that, you know. That's how we met the guy.
And I understand that Buck Ram was the co-writer of a very well-known Christmas song.
I'll Be Home for Christmas?
Yes, that's the one. And Dirk Bingle did a pretty good version of that.
Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas if only.
Quite a song, and quite a songwriter, Buck Ram.
And he also wrote the words for Twilight Time.
And of course, we're going to play Twilight Time a little bit later in the show.
Right.
Buck got together with you, and you made a recording of a song that he wrote, which was called Only You and You Alone. Now, at that time, you recorded for Federal Records?
Right.
I have that original version on Federal Records. I have a copy of it. The original version of Only You was different. You eventually re-recorded it for Mercury.
Oh, yeah, we did re-record it. By then, we got the arrangements together that we wanted. But in the very beginning, we were just struggling, trying to find a style and a sound.
This is how Only You started. And this is not the hit version. This was the original version recorded by the Platters. Sounding quite different from what we're going to hear in just a couple of moments from right now. And I'm Ronnie Allen, and I'm so pleased to be talking with Herb Reed, who is the original Platter, who formed the group, named the group, and has been with them for Years. Loads and loads of years. All right. Now, you had a contract with Federal Records, but that was not going to be your destiny. Absolutely not.
The first contract that Federal Records offered us was a blank contract. He had signed this. Go to blank. Nothing on it at all.
You eventually got to Mercury Records. It's been written in various places that Buck had two groups. He had the Penguins, the group that had the hit Earth Angel, then he had the Platters. Mercury Records was interested in the Penguins, but Buck Ram was kind of shrewd, and he said, well, if you guys at Mercury want to sign the Penguins, I insist you have to take the Platters as well. Both groups got signed to Mercury. The Penguins never had another hit, but the Platters took off.
I heard that story at least 12 times, and I've worked with the original Penguins in the last, I'd say, 5 years at least four times. We never discussed that at all, and it never came up. Buck Ram never told me that's all that happened.
We'll say this is allegedly how it happened. I can't confirm it. It's a nice little story anyway. But it may or may not be true.
It's just strange conversation.
Yeah. Now, when you were signed with Mercury Records, and now we're going to get back to what you said a few minutes ago, Mercury was not thrilled with the name The Platters?
No, they weren't, and Buck Ram was not pleased either. They wanted to change it to something like Ayers or something, you know. Uh-huh. I was emphatic about not changing it.
Even Buck Ram was not thrilled with it.
Right, no, he didn't like it either.
Now, the lineup, when you signed with Mercury Records, was the five that became the classic Platters lineup. Tony Williams, David Lynch, Paul Robbie, Zola Taylor, and last but most assuredly not least, in fact he was first, is Herb Reed. Now, Tony was the lead singer. What voice did David Lynch do?
He was second tenor.
And Paul Robbie?
Paul Robbie was for anything and everything. He was a genius, that guy.
Well, he could do any voice he wanted.
He was baritone.
And Zola Taylor. Zola was the female voice.
Right, contralto.
And Herb Reed was the bass.
Right, right, right.
You're the one that did You'll Never Know.
That's right.
That's you.
That's me.
Did I do okay on that?
Oh, you did a damn good job on that, my man. You're in tune.
Thanks.
Good job on that one.
Thank you very much. For your first single on Mercury, it was decided that you were going to do this song called Only You. Sometimes there's a parenthesized part of that title. It's Only You and You Alone, but most people know it as Only You. There was something so special. Was that recorded in New York or somewhere else?
It was recorded in Los Angeles.
Did you have any idea when you were recording Only You that this was going to do what it did?
We had no idea it was going to happen to it, because I'll tell you why. We were not even singing. The song has been out for about, maybe 3-4 months.
Right.
And we were appearing in Las Vegas, and we didn't have the song in our show at all. And then Jar-Jar Jabbour came to see the show one night. She started hollering out, Only You, and we didn't know what she was talking about. So we asked her after the show, what was she hollering out? She said, you hit recording, Only You. We didn't know what the hell she was talking about.
You had no idea that the record was a hit until Jar-Jar Jabbour told you it was?
Right, right, exactly right.
What a story that is. That's great.
That's a fact. Hey, listen, in those days, man, they didn't give a damn about you. They wouldn't call you and tell you you had a hit recording.
Right.
They wouldn't tell you the record was selling good or that it was number this on the chart. Nobody would call you and tell you nothing. In fact, I drove from Las Vegas to Los Angeles, bought the recording of Only You, and took it back to Las Vegas without even stopping. So we could relearn the song and put it in the show.
Wow.
That's honest goodness truth.
So when you recorded it, you thought it was a nice song, but not necessarily anything all that special, and then you found out how special it was.
That's true.
Only you can to make all this world seem right. Darkness bright. Only
marvelous change in me. For it's true, you are my destiny. When you hold my hand, I understand the magic that you do. You're my dream come true, my one and only you. Only you can make all this change in me.
Platters, and I have heard that, I was going to say millions of times, maybe thousands of times, okay, but I've never gotten tired of it. It's a great song. Great recording. Tony Williams had a style, the way he said the word can, C-A-N, he kind of added like a D to it, so it was only you canned. It was a Tony Williams kind of a trademark thing. His voice was so magical.
He had a great voice, he really did.
I'm Ronnie Allen, so pleased to be talking with the original Platter, Herb Reed. And before we get to a song that was not really written in the washroom of the Flamingo Hotel, contrary to what you may have read on that certain internet encyclopedia, I want to do a shout-out to a couple of people. I want to say hello to both Tom Cuddy and Charlie Quintal. It's because of Tom and Charlie that I am talking right now to Herb Reed. So, hello, Tom and Charlie.
Hey, hello, greetings.
Greetings! Uncle Ronnie wants you.
All right.
A lot of groups have one hit record, and that's their only hit record, so the follow-up is very important. There's a story going around that the lyrics to this song, The Great Pretender, were written in the washroom of the Flamingo Hotel in Las Vegas by Buck Graham, but that is not true, right?
That's not true at all.
Okay, so I won't even mention it. But what is true is Buck Graham did write the lyrics. That is true.
You know, actually, what happened is that he came over to the house that the Platters were staying in Vegas, and he started telling me about some song he had wrote. And he had a small piece of paper, and he said that he had written this, you know, and it went like this, like that, blah, blah, blah. At the time, I didn't read any music. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what the hell he was talking about, so I've got a good memory, and I could play piano with two fingers.
Right.
So I remember enough of the melody to play for Paul Robbie. So Paul Robbie and I put together the song that we're hearing now. Buck Graham was so infuriated, he refused to be in the studio when we recorded it. He wouldn't be in there. That's how mad he was about the way we had put together the song.
Really? And we're talking about The Great Pretender.
Right, exactly. He walked out of the studio.
Do you recall anything he said at the time?
That's not the way I wrote the song. That's not the way I wrote it. That's not my song. I didn't write it like that. Blah, 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 blah.
What was it that he didn't like about it?
We never knew. We never asked him why.
So Buck, who wrote the song, stormed out of the studio and didn't even see you record this classic. That's amazing. Wow. What a story. But you managed to record it, and it went to number one on the chart.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Can tell. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. A great all alone. To reel is the feeling of make believe. To reel when I feel what my heart can't conceal. I'm the great pretender, just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be what I'm not, you see. I'm wearing my heart like a crown, pretending that you're still around. Just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be what I'm not, you see. I'm wearing my heart like a crown, pretending that you're still.
Platters were doing The Great Pretender, pretending that Buck Ram was around, but of course he wasn't. He stormed out of the studio. What a story. And we want to point out, too, that not only was The Great Pretender a number one hit in the United States, it was also number one on the R&B chart, and also these first two records, Only You and The Great Pretender, were hits around the world.
All those hits that you talk about were hits all over the world. Germany, England, South America, they're everywhere.
What about The Magic Touch? That was the next one that came along. Was it written by, perhaps, Buck Ram?
Yes, it was. You know, Buck Ram was a genius at lyrics. Oh, this guy was fantastic, unbelievable.
These were written especially for the Platters.
Right.
Anything you can tell me about The Magic Touch? Remember the recording session or your reaction to the song or anything special about it?
The first time we heard the song was in Baltimore, Maryland, and one of the producers brought it to the dressing room and played a little bit for us, and he said to Tony, can you remember what the voice goes like? And Tony sang a little bit of it, and he said, oh, yeah, that's it. He was excited the way that Tony approached the tune.
Well, we opened the show with your group doing a live version of The Magic Touch at an Alan Freed concert to a very appreciative audience, and right now we're going to hear the hit recording of it. It got to number 4 on the chart, and I'll use the full title, including the parenthesized portion. These are the Platters with You've Got the Magic Touch.
You've got the magic touch.
Ooh.
It makes me glow so much.
Ooh.
It casts a spell. It rings a bell. The magic touch. Oh, when I feel your charm,
ooh,
it's like a four alarm. You make me thrill so much. You've got the magic touch. Here I go. Much. And then I felt your touch.
Ooh.
And now I've learned I can return the magic touch. Here I go. Where can
I didn't know too much. And then I felt your touch. And now I've learned I can return the magic touch.
Do, 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 do.
You've got the magic touch, the Platters, and I've got on the phone with me Herb Reed. And Herb, once again, thank you so very, very much for taking the time to do this show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Moving right along to what became your second number one hit, and it was a beautiful song called My Prayer. Again, I'm going to ask, is this one that Buck wrote?
No, he didn't write that, no. A Frenchman wrote that.
And it was actually a two-sided hit. One side was My Prayer, the other side was Heaven on Earth, but My Prayer is the one that really took off and hit number one. Any special thoughts on My Prayer?
Well, number one, I was in Harlem in New York, and in those days, if there was a record that was a hit, it played over the loudspeakers, and you could hear it on the sidewalk. And I was walking different shops in Harlem, and I kept hearing this song, and I got so irritated hearing it everywhere we went, you know. And I swear to God, I didn't know it was us. I didn't know it was our recording until I got down to Manhattan in New York before I realized, before somebody told me that we had a hit record, and it was My Prayer. So I was irritated hearing it so much up in Harlem, and I didn't know it.
Wow.
I didn't know there was a Platters at all.
My goodness.
That's the truth, the honest goodness truth.
When the twilight is gone, and no songbirds are singing, when the twilight is gone, you come into my heart, and here in my heart you will stay. While I pray, my prayer is to linger with you at the end of the day in a dream that's divine. My prayer is a rapture in blue with the world far away and your lips close to mine.
You had a smash record, number one on the pop chart, number one on the R&B chart, top five in England and other countries throughout the world. Another classic Platters recording, My Prayer. And My Prayer has been answered. I got Herb Reed on the phone, And Herb is the last surviving member of the Classic Platters, Tony Williams, David Lynch, Paul Robbie, Zola Taylor, and Herb Reed. A magical group. A lot of times people don't know the names of the individual members of groups, but many people remember all five names in the Platters group. Now I got a record that I'm really anxious to talk about, and this is the one that you do the opening, You'll Never, Never Know. And that's what the title is. It's You'll Never, Never Know. There's two nevers, right?
Right.
Even though at the very beginning you're singing You'll Never Know, then later on in the record Tony sings You'll Never, Never Know. That had to be kind of special to you because it's the only big hit record where your voice is the first one that's heard.
To be honest with you, I remember we were recording someplace and Buck suggested that I do that, you know. And I didn't know what he was talking about, so I did it. And that's all I remember about it. There was nothing special about thinking about doing this or that or the other. This was a suggestion, and I did it, and it caught on. So I was happy about that.
You'll never know.
You'll never, never know I care.
I know.
You'll never know the torch I bear.
I know.
You'll never know it. Not even when you're glancing by, for I won't weaken when we're speaking. Oh no, you'll never, never know. You'll know the years to me that I was before. You'll see confess it. Oh, darling, now's the time to blow. Or else you'll never, never know. You know the values to me that I was before. You'll see. Confess it. Oh, darling, now's the time to glow. Or else you'll never. No, no, you'll never. Oh, no, you'll never. Ever. No.
You'll never know.
Can you still hit the low note? Did you still?
That's a high note, to be honest with you.
You'll never. That's a high note? You'll never know?
Yeah, that's just nothing to that. I mean, that's what we call first grade bass. There's nothing to that at all.
Oh, okay.
But years later, I did 16 tons for European consumption only. And that was a big hit for me.
Well, we're in luck. I just happen to have a copy of that version that you did as the lead singer of the Platters on 16 tons. Here it is.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood, skin and bone. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You know, 16 guns, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper and dead. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can go. I owe my suit to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up the shovel and walked to the mine. I rose a song for Sibella. Bless my Sue, you love sitting down. And what do you get? Another day older and deeper and dense. Say, Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my Sue to the company store. If you see me come, you better step aside. A lot of men didn't and a lot of men died. I want this to find the other still. If the right one don't get you, then the left one won't be you. Sitting down, and morning again. Another day older and deeper and denser. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can go. I owe my suit to the company store. Was born one morning and it was drizzling rain. A fight on my middle name. I was raised in a king brick, but oh, mama line, you know how to make me walk the line. You know, sitting down, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper and dancing. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
It was a big hit for me.
Where was
big
it?
Big hit in Europe and in Asia, South America, especially right. Japan. Platter's version.
Platter's version of 16 tons. You had so many other hit records. We're not going to be able to play all of them, but we're going to mention a few of them right now. In 1956 and going through 1957, you had It Isn't Right, On My Word of Honor, One in a Million, I'm Sorry, He's Mine, My Dream, Helpless. And then in early 1958, you once again returned to the number one spot on the chart with a song called Twilight Time.
Funny thing about Twilight Time is that when I was a kid in grade school, I remember there was a radio program that came on, and when we heard this particular music, we knew it was time to leave for school. And they would play that song first, and that song they would play, the musical version of Twilight Time. That was a beautiful, beautiful song they played, you know?
Right.
And on the way to school, that melody would kind of stay in your head a little bit, you know?
The original hit version of Twilight Time was by a group called the Three Sons.
That's right.
And this is what it sounded like.
Twilight Time with words, and it became one of the biggest right. The Platters ever had.
And those words were written by Buck Ram. Beautiful words, beautifully sung by the Platters.
Heavenly shades of night are falling, it's twilight time. Out of the mist your voice is calling, it's twilight time. The end of day, I'll hear you, my dear, at twilight time. Deepening shadows gather splendor as day is done. Fingers of night will soon surrender the setting sun. I count the moments, darling, till you're here with me.
together at last at twilight time. Here in the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath the blue. In the sweet and same old way, I fall in love again as I did then. Deep in the dark, your kiss will fill me like days of old, lighting the sparks of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you together at last at twilight time. Here in the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath the blue. Here in the sweet and simple way, I fall in love again. Deep in the dark, your kiss will thrill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you together at last at twilight time. Together at last at twilight.
Twilight Time by the Platters. They don't write songs like that anymore.
No, they don't.
I'm Ronnie Allen, and Herb, let me just say once again, I'm enjoying this so much. You've had such a fantastic career. Smoke Gets in Your Eyes came later in 1958, and this one was a little bit different.
Well, what happened, believe it or not, is that we were on tour of Europe, and we were stationed in Paris at the time. We were going to be there for a month at a theater called Olympic Theater, which is like the Carnegie Hall of Europe. And what happened was, they asked us one night, would you like to go by and see Barclay Studios? We said, sure. So we went by to see the studio, the biggest studio I've ever seen in my entire career. It was huge, huge, huge. So, you know, we didn't think nothing about it, and so we left. And then a couple of weeks later, they said, we're going back to Barclay Studio. I said, so watch it myself, for what? I was just talking to myself, you know. We saw it one time, you know. We went by, then they had 47 musicians in there when we went by. I said, what the hell is this about? They said, you're going to record. I said, you should record what? We didn't know anything about recording. We hadn't rehearsed not one song. Not one person told us that we're going to record on this date or that date. And these are the songs. We had no rehearsals, nothing. So we got there. They gave us a list of songs. So what we did, we went into a room and studied the tunes while the band rehearsed the song. And when the band was through, we came out and we sang one after another. In fact, we were so good at it, we finished an entire album of 10, 12 songs before schedule, before the time was up.
Wow.
Joni was a genius, had a fantastic ear, and you had Paul Robbie, who was a harmony genius and a musical arrangement genius, you know. So between those two guys, we were able to pull it off. I don't know how we did it, but we did it. And we didn't know not one song before we got in there. Focus Your Eyes on one of those songs.
My true love was true. I was blind. Something here inside cannot be denied. That someday you'll find all who love are blind. Oh, when your heart's on fire, you must play a line. Smoke gets in your eyes. I
could doubt my love. Yet today my love has flown away. I am without my love.
Without my love.
Now laughing friends deride, tears I cannot flame dies, smoke gets in your eyes,
smoke gets in your eyes,
smoke gets in your eyes.
Smoke Gets in Your Eyes became another number one hit. Your group,
believe it or not, we were on a show called Hit or Miss in Los Angeles. They voted the song Smoke Is in Your Eyes a miss. So I think what happened is that Buck Ramsey sent them a copy of a gold record and said, thank you for making this a miss. You know, but I remember that they voted it a miss.
But the public decides ultimately what is going to be a hit or a miss, and as it turns out, the public said hit, 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 that's a hit. And boy, was it ever. Huge number one hit, and was, I believe, the first Platters recording to make number one both in the United States and in England.
That's right.
One of the songs that I've always loved by the Platters is Enchanted.
Enchanted was put together up in Buffalo, New York. We were at a beautiful nightclub up there, and Buck Ram came in with the tune, and we were sitting out there in the audience, just, you know, convincing around us in the daytime, and he said, here's something that you may like to do, blah, 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 blah. So we said, check it out, you know, we did it. And what you hear now is what we put together up there in Buffalo, New York.
Lover's eyes.
do a lot of rehearsing to get the sound. Did you have long hours of rehearsal?
No, we did not. Very little rehearsal.
Really?
Very little rehearsal.
I would have thought that you would spend hours and hours developing the sound.
No, I don't think I can say it is that the platters showed up at a studio, they were ready to record, and they knew what they were doing. Most songs you hear are one take only.
That is amazing.
That's the truth.
Now, speaking of the truth, Herb, we're going to reveal something really interesting right now that I am sure is going to surprise platters fans throughout the country and around the world. It's about Tony Williams. Tony confided to you that of all the songs the Platters ever recorded, there was only one that he truly felt he could sing. In other words, he could sing especially well. Interestingly, it wasn't one of the Platters' biggest hits. Can you tell us what that song was?
He had a great voice, he really did, but he only thought he could sing one song, and that one song was Trees.
I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is red against the earth's sweet glowing breath. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in some way a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree.
Like that's the only song he could sing. It's amazing. It's ingenious the way he does that song. You can understand why he felt like that, because it was just unbelievable. Unbelievable the way he sang that song.
The thing that's unbelievable to me is that as great as it was, it never became a huge hit, but it deserved to be a huge hit. From 1961, Trees. That's so special. Great. Tony Williams left the group in, I believe, it was either 60 or 61. Trees may have, in fact, been issued after he had left the group. Did you have any idea that Tony was going to leave the group?
The record company, for years, had tried to break us up, and they got in cahoots with our manager about Tony leaving the group, and this way they would have, you know, just pay one guy, and they would have to, like, have anything to do with us at all.
Right.
We didn't counsel for their concerns. They only had one interest in mind, it was Tony, and so therefore, they wanted to leave the group if they felt like they could make him a big star on his own, and they only have to deal with one guy.
That's
right. That happens, you know. But they've been trying that for years, but Tony felt loyalty to me and to the group. That's why he never left. So finally, this got to be too much of a thing. What happened is that he sneaked and recorded an album on his own called Girls, Girls, Girls. And we didn't know anything about that. He got a telegram while we were in Paris. It said, congratulations, darling, you have a hit record. So we said, what the hell are you talking about? He showed us a telegram. So we said, what are you talking about? You got a hit record, you know? We didn't know what the hell he was talking about because we didn't know anything about them sneaking around and recording an album by himself.
Oh.
So what happened is that when we got back to America, found out there was a big lie from his wife, told him a damn lie, because she was so eager for him to be a star by himself that she jumped the gun and told him that he had a hit record, he had nothing. In fact, the album was so bad it didn't sell at all. So what happened is that he blew his cover, and he was so embarrassed by the fact that he was leaving the group and he had no hit recording, it lied to him, so he couldn't take it, you know, so that's why he left.
After Tony left the group, his career never really took off as a solo artist.
He destroyed himself after that. Tragic story. I don't want to get into
it. I understand.
Tragic. He urged me to even think about how tragic he turned out to be.
You brought in a singer named Sonny Turner. When did Sonny Turner come into the group as the lead singer?
I think he came into the group in the middle part of the 1960s.
But it wasn't until later in the 60s, in 66 and 67, that the Platters reemerged in the top 40 with two big hits, with Sonny Turner on the lead. And we're going to listen to both of them right now. I Love You a Thousand Times was one of them. This was a comeback record for the Platters.
Right, it was. I was in New York City having lunch, and the guy who wrote it walked by. He saw me, and I waved to him. He came inside and I asked him to have lunch with me, you know. He said, okay. And I didn't know at the time the guy had just got out of a mental type of a place. I don't think it was an institution. I think it was like a hospital or something. Because what happened is that he was a great writer and he was writing a lot of songs for this lady and his record company, and he found out later on that they cheated him out every dime that he made.
Oh,
and so he took a baseball bat and tried to kill the guy.
Oh, gee.
And so they arrested him and put him in this particular institution. And when he came out of that, nobody would touch him. I'm the only person that befriended him. And then he told me that he had a dub that you think I may even want to hear because he said the groove is great and listen to it. I said, okay. So I took him upstairs in the Brill Building.
And that was the song, I Love You a Thousand Times. That was it.
Right, right. And I took it over to the record company.
And you were with a different label at the time. You were with Musicore Records.
Right. And then the record company president says, okay, Irv, this is great. Let's do it right away. We recorded a song. Listen, 2 weeks.
Found in school, the whole class laughed.
The last record we're going to play before we talk about what the Platters have had to go through the last few years was another big hit, and Sonny Turner doing the lead singing on With This Ring. Nice song. You remember who wrote With This Ring?
A guy called Popcorn Wally.
It's a little bit different.
It is. It's a big hit for the Platters, though.
I'll always love you, always love you. With this ring, I promise I'll always love you, always love you. They used to call me the one love who never wanted to settle down, yeah. But I tell you, baby, I want to know more. Got to stay around, oh. With this ring, I'll always love you, always love you. With this ring, I promise I'll always love you, always love you. Got nothing but this old heart of mine. Baby, please believe in me. Girl, you know, sweetheart, I'll always try to keep you satisfied, Lord. With this ring, I promise I'll always love you. With this ring, I promise I'll always love you, always love you. Never thought so much love could fit in a little band of gold. But I'm telling you, darling, I feel it in my heart, got it in my soul. With this ring, I promise I'll always love you. With this ring, I promise I'll always love you.
Herb, we have pretty much covered the Platter story, but this show would not be complete if we didn't touch upon something that you have had to deal with for a long period of time. There is some good news, however, at the end of the tunnel. Tell me about what has been going on. Three groups in particular that you hear mentioned most, the Coasters, the Drifters, and the Platters, have been the victims of imposter groups going out there, doing shows, and collecting money. That is, rightfully, money that should be going to you and everybody else concerned with the real Platters. What is the deal with that, and what have you done to stop them?
Well, number one is that the thieves did not attribute nothing to us. They just go out stealing our name and saying they recorded these two songs. In fact, they've gone so far as to put their pictures out on an album with our recorders in the background. That's how bold these guys have become. You know what happens is the managers and the agents and the owners of these different clubs and restaurants and whatever, they know this is a phony people. They don't care. They're just bombing off on the public, you know, and until something happens, things are beginning to happen now that's going to stop that crap, you know. But they're just stealing our name and our music and our likeness in the whole nine yards.
And in most of these cases, these groups have absolutely no connection whatsoever with the Platters.
No.
But they pretend to be the Platters. I want to just read for my audience something that I just read here. It says, other groups called themselves the Platters. They started emerging in the 1970s, around the time that Herb Reed moved to Arlington because he liked the weather and the people. 6 years ago, he sued a Lawrence producer for advertising a show featuring a group called the Platters. A federal judge ruled in Herb Reed's favor, and the copycat platters were taken off the show. So they took off the platters and they then became the coasters. You know, that would be funny if it wasn't so sad that they could just do this. Now, Bowser, of course, of Sha-na-na, has been involved in a movement called Truth in Music.
He's been fantastic, that guy.
How does that assure people that they're seeing a real group, or at least members that are connected with a real group?
Well, what happens is that the law is stating that there's got to be at least one original in a group in order for you to call that group that name.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That's what the whole thing boils down to. So just say one of those phony groups start off someplace, you get one of those guys and say, okay, here's a guy that was with the Platters, and they put him out there. You know he's a lie, and it's robbing people with the name and the price to get in to see them guys. It's what a disgrace it is to the American music for things like that to be tolerated. They can only tolerate that stuff here in America. They couldn't tolerate that place, no place else in the world where they allow that kind of stuff like that to happen. Only here in America are they allowed to do that. You couldn't do that in England or France or Germany or any place like that. They would not tolerate it. The government wouldn't tolerate it.
I think that you estimated at one time that these phony groups were costing you personally like about 25 weeks of work every year.
Oh, more than that.
More than that now?
Oh, yeah, much more.
Oh, my gosh.
30-some-odd weeks.
Unbelievable. And that's not to mention the fact that you have to take money out of your own pocket to sue these people, to stop them
from
they're doing. And this is not an easy task, particularly because it has to be done on a state-by-state basis. And
Bowser is
working like one state at a time to get individual laws passed. You own the trademark of the Platters, is that correct?
That's what they tell me.
What is your group called?
Herb Reed and the Platters.
And that is to let people know of what your connection is. Who's in the group right now?
Billy Cox, Angela Allen, William Newton, and Wayne Miller.
And you perform with the group as well?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, now, who's the lead singer?
William Newton.
So what we're telling people is the Platters are still out there with Herb Reed, who is the only original member, and once again, the man who founded the group. You founded the group before Buck Ram came into the picture. It was your group.
Oh, sure.
One other thing we want to mention, the Platters were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That had to be a very special honor for you.
No, it wasn't. It was the worst night of my entire career.
Really? How come?
First, is that they had Phil Spector, that to do the inducting. And we were standing and waiting to be inducted. He was out there reading the names of the people on the committee on the back of the program. He didn't know what the hell he was doing. He didn't know he was inducting us. So they came out and showed a piece of paper and said, Phil, you inducted the Platters. He said, the Platters, nobody told me. Nobody told me.
Oh, gosh.
That's everybody was there. You know, U2 was there.
Yeah.
Four Tops was there. Chicken Ray Leonard was there. Paul Simon, all gone fuck over there. And all these people, you know. And I was so so screwed up. He didn't know he was inducting the Platters. When I read he was going to do the induction, I said, oh, so effective. Ruined everything about the award.
But what about the award? You considered the award itself pretty special, didn't you?
Well, I like the fact that it was special that you inducted, you know.
Right.
I like the fact, you know. It's just that he just spoiled everything with that guy, you know. He screwed up the year before. Why they had him come back, I'll never know.
Well,
I'll never know why they had that to come back to do it again that year.
As they would say, you'll never know. That's true. Well, your story is amazing, Herb. Maybe there's something that you wish that I had asked that I didn't ask. Was there anything about the Platters, either past or present, that you would like your fans around the world to know?
Well, I would like them to know that there are a lot of people out there we wish to thank for helping us to get off the ground and help us to stay alive all those years. And I wish I could possibly thank them all, because it's important that people know how much I appreciate the background and the things that went down because people supported us. I seriously want to thank them.
I can't thank you enough. This has been so special to me, and your music is forever. You recorded some of the greatest recordings of all time. I want to wish you all the blessings of this year and many years to come. I hope this has been a fun experience for you, because I've loved it.
I'll tell you what, man, you're very informed, and it was very interesting to know that you were so informed. So I felt very comfortable answering your questions, and I felt good by being on your show. Thank you.
Remember when I met you.
of you. Remember when to my surprise the heaven in my heart leaped into your heart. Remember how much I cried. Tears of joy to think you were mine. Darling, down deep inside, I still feel that feeling divine. I loved you then, and I still do. I can remember when I didn't love you. I still feel that feeling is mine. I loved you then, and I still do. I can remember when I didn't.
To Ronnie remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s.